All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Outside, the skies, they might be frightful, but inside on the radio, it is so delightful. It is Nick and Joel from studio. We should make it some, like, technically cool name, Nick, like they do on the Today Show. Live from Studio 1A in Rockefeller Plaza. We should come up with something like Studio 007 from the Galleria area.
Is there, like, a number over there, Barry? Is there, like, a Studio 1A or anything like labels anywhere?
Dude, this place is, I don't want to brag, but it's pretty nice over here, too. They've got like seven studios. It's very fancy in here, but I don't see a name. But we'll just call it live from the fancy Wichita studio.
And joining us via remote from Satellites Unknown, from the fancy Wichita studio of Wichita, it is the lineman from the county known as Barry Laminack. We are all here. Thanks to the beautiful gods of technology on a Monday. Barry, how was the weekend? How was the shows? How was all the Redbox? And did you watch The History of Comedy last night, which I thought was a really, really good hour-long start of a series?
I didn't see it. Are they starting it over because they were running it, and then I think they stopped running it, or is this season? It's on CNN, right? Is that
CNN,
the one you're talking
correct.
About?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't. I saw a couple, and then I just saw they stopped running them, so I wasn't sure what happened. But no, I didn't watch it. Shows went great. Great crowds, hot crowds, lots of fun. Watched a ton of movies. I went and saw War of the Planet of the Apes. I've watched Wonder Woman. I've watched King Arthur and something about a sword. I don't remember. Good times, good times.
Now, when you're watching these movies, are you in a theater with a barrel of popcorn, or are you in your movie with your hand on a loaded gun?
What?
Well, under the covers, if you know what I mean.
Why would I have my hand on my, loaded gun while I'm watching King Arthur?
Because you,
like,
you
what
said,
kind of weird fantasy, well, Joel, are you projecting
you gotta
onto
stay
me?
Out, first of all, you got to stay out of the rain in the desert after that. You've moved on from there, I assume. But if there's nothing going on, you said you were going to utilize the time to catch up on a lot of movies and things. I didn't know if you were going to venture out in the metropolis of Wichita, or if you were going to stay secluded in for your viewing pleasure.
No, I'm staying in the condo, although it's really creepy. There's like, it's just this big building with no windows, and I can, like, the building creaks late at night, so it sounds like someone's breaking in on the roof, like I'm in the middle of a Thomas Crown heist or something.
Okay.
It's in the middle of downtown where the homeless population is pretty significant. I went for a run down the Arkansas River not too long, a couple days ago, and I don't know what I was more afraid of, all of the homeless people or all of the geese. I have never seen so many geese in my entire life. So between the two, it was an interesting run, to say the least. But yeah, it's been a little touch and go. So I don't leave. I don't venture too far out. I stay to myself.
Okay. So any movie reviews we should know about, or anything? That
Wonder
was
Woman was good. I thought it was all right. I thought they kind of cheapened her superhero status in Wonder Woman. War of the Planet of the Apes is really good. I enjoyed it. A few people on Twitter said, "Have you seen it?"
I have not. You knew that.
Yeah, Nick, have you seen it?
No, I was going to see the King Arthur one, and I stopped. I figured that was a DVD movie.
Yeah, it's a DVD movie. It really is. But War of the Planet of the Apes, I recommend. Yeah, yeah, Nick, it's a blockbuster night. Yeah, make it a blockbuster night. Get that laser disc. You'll be good. No, I recommend War of the Planet of the Apes for sure. It was really – and I'm not even a Planet of the Apes fan. I saw, I think, the second prequel, but it was good. I enjoyed it.
Okay. All right, so now you're going to be gone all week. We're going to be doing this.
Yep.
Are you dropping anchor just in Wichita, or is the world tour go anywhere else before you wrap up shop there?
No, so I will be here in Wichita tomorrow, and then after the show's over, I will drive down to Oklahoma City, set up shop, and then I have shows Wednesday through Saturday, So I'll be doing, you know, the show from Oklahoma City Wednesday through Friday, and then I'll do game day from Oklahoma City and then come home.
And what day are you getting Paul George on?
Yeah, right.
I'm just asking.
Like I have that much pull.
So,
come on now.
Come on, man. You know people. So what you've still able to catch up with the Astros? You're still able to follow them? Are you watching them?
Yep.
Are you watching the games or just checking the box scores?
No, I haven't gotten to watch a game, unfortunately. I've been having to, like, you know, look at it on my phone and watch. So I don't know how good Fires looked or how bad Musgrove looked compared to what the box score said it was. So I couldn't really. But, I mean, once again, they win another series. When you look at the fact that they're winning two out of every three games,
even though
they have dropped a few series for the season, they're basically winning every series based on the way their record shapes up. So keep on trucking is the thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was there Sunday. I was there with Lisa on Saturday night. Nick was there Saturday night. You know, Musgrove to me still doesn't look good. He still created too many jams for himself. And admittedly, after the game, at least, he was talking about the fact that he was happy with the way he bounced back when he was down in counts and had runners on base. But inevitably, when you play with fire that much, eventually you're going to get burned. And they had so many opportunities Saturday night with runners on base. And I felt bad for Bregman because he hit it on the screws two times and got nothing to show for it. But those things are going to happen. But you're right. At the end of the day, I was thinking about it this morning. It's exactly the same frame of mind you were in. Where, like, if you just keep taking two out of three and winning every series, you can't go wrong. The fear that I have that I wanted to talk to you about was the fact that I fear that this season could mirror the Rockets a lot unless they go out and do something for pitching. We already see the Nationals, who we were talking about how bad their bullpen was. They went out and made a trade with Oakland and instantly added two relievers. You see teams that are clamoring to start looking at a lot of guys. Justin Wilson from Detroit now is rumored to be going to Tampa, not Houston. And I'm just fearful that the Houstonians are going to enjoy one hell of a regular season run, and unless they act sooner rather than later, they're going to get caught not wanting to mess with the future, but not going for it in a year when it's clearly the path is laid out for them to do nothing but go for it.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, though. I'm not as concerned as everyone else, because when you look at what this team is doing and has done this year, they've not, the entire year, they have not had their full complement of rotation pieces. They have been doing this with bubblegum and duct tape. And, you know, we had somebody yesterday on game day was, you know, sending a text saying how, oh, we thought that the Astros were world beaters, but they haven't. Okay, so they've lost 5 out of 6 to the Indians, right? Do you know how many times Keiko and McCullers pitched in those six? Twice. Keiko pitched once, they won that game. McCullers pitched once, they lost. The rest of them was Fires or Musgrove or Paulino or somebody else. Those are not the teams you're going to see in the playoffs. These teams are going to get a healthy dose of Keiko and McCullers and whatever arm they go get. And if they don't go get an arm, I'm kind of okay with that, the way some of these guys have been pitching. You know what I mean?
Well, but
so, yeah. Do they need to make a move? I would like to see them do that. Does it worry me if they don't? Not really. This team, this offense is something special, man. And I think people are sleeping on that.
They are. And I'll say this. You know, early in the season, every time they got down in a game, I was like, oh, man, I was really worried. And I've just now gotten accustomed to saying, oh, it's just one run. I mean, they're going to come back with a 5 spot somewhere. They're going to come back with a barrage of hits, and they'll be fine. And most cases, I'm right. But when I look at what Sale did to the Yankees for 8 innings the other day, when I look at some of the potential pitchers that they will be facing in a series, it's going to be harder to battle back with a big inning against guys that are keeping it in that 1-0 range, in that 1-2 run limit range that you can't answer with. I mean, I'm glad that Keuchel looks like he should be on the complete men, and it's just going to take a couple of rehab starts. But Keuchel himself said before the break, hopefully I don't have to do any rehab starts and I'll just be ready to go after the break. I want to believe they're going to be healthy. If they are, look, I like where they're at in terms of competitiveness, but it concerns me that it's not going to be a slugfest or a big inning affair in the postseason, and other teams are going to start stacking up one, two guys that are going to be, and in some cases, 1-2-3 guys that are going to be ace quality. That just worries me a little bit.
You have two guys, Joel, that were in the top 10 before they got hurt and pitching in the AL.
But you said it, Barry, they got hurt.
Two aces. You had two guys. Right. But, I mean, well, God forbid they get hurt going into the playoffs, then all bets are off. But if you're going into the playoffs with two Cy Young caliber top 10 level pitchers, who else is making that claim? I mean, yeah, Boston, but are they really? Is Price or Porcello or any of those guys really pitched like top 10 pitchers?
They're starting to come back. Price pitched good last night. Porcello, you know, still has a problem with giving up hits, but he, you know, he kept the runs weight, you know, down, kept them in the ball game. So I just look at Sale. I think to me, Sale and Price are going to be the guys at the end of the year. We'll see. But, you know, the other thing worries me is when you get a guy like Pineda that's going out for the Yankees, and the Yankees are going to be, you know, we know how they do business. They're going to over-offer just like the Cubs and Theo Epstein will do to make sure they get a Quintana-type player, and it already paid dividends for the Cubs. I'm concerned about the fact that I know that no one wants to mess with the future, but I just want to see this team be as aggressive as possible to make sure that there's no chink in the armor anywhere and that they don't have anything to worry about because they are so good offensively.
And somewhere in Cleveland and Boston, two guys are talking on the radio about how nervous they are about having to face Keuchel and McCullers twice in a 7-game series, and they hope their teams go out and make another move. I promise you that.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. All right, we got plenty to talk about today. We've got lots to get to with the Astros, as we already started that discussion. We've got a press conference going down at the Big Sequoia for probably strictly business reasons with the Rockets, but we've got lots to still talk about there and a whole lot more on the agenda. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line, where you can call and text, or you can hit us up on Twitter at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Right now, I want to tell you about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It is a fantastic program here in the Houston area for Houstonian kids, but more importantly, because of donations from Houstonians like you. If you're looking around the driveway, the yard and back, the garage, you got a clunker that's collecting dust and rust, and you've been wanting to get rid of it, been meaning to get rid of it, you just haven't gotten around to it. It might not even be running anymore. Here's all you got to do. You get in touch with the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you with a tow truck. They take it away. They do the paperwork. You get a great tax deduction. And on top of it, you mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $50 gift card. That's when the process really begins, because they take your donation and they turn it into resources that can be utilized by these kids trying to get an education. It could be book money. It could be bus fare. It could be warm meals. It could be eyeglasses and so much more. But those are distractions that can take away a kid's focus when they're trying to study the books. This way, that doesn't have to. They get the things that they need so they can focus on getting the education, and the program is a win-win for the city of Houston because of you. 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Get in contact with them. Make a donation. They'll make it happen because of you. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's in Wichita before he hits the OKC in Tornado Alley. So Nick and I are holding down the fort at the headquarters as The Usual Suspect rolls on. We're going to have a special guest here in a little bit, expecting the chief marketing officer for BBVA to call in, Jennifer Domenichini, and we will be getting to her shortly. But until then, we have more Barry. And Barry, because this is a football state and because you are out of it, I don't know if you caught this or not, but major news yesterday on the Texans front, and it's not on the field and not in a good way. But as I was driving back from the gym, Lisa got a tweet that said that the rookie running back Deontay Foreman from the University of Texas was arrested Sunday morning, charged with marijuana possession and unlawful carrying of a weapon. Thankfully, both misdemeanors, but still not a good look. And I said to Lisa when she was reading these tweets and tweets from her station and messages from her station, well, there were several other guys there. And I'm going, where are one of your boys to step up and say, no, it wasn't him, it was me? and, you know, kind of deflect a little of this, because especially when you got a kid that's a rookie, young, but a lot's going to be expected of, I would think. And then, of course, the report came right after that out of his camp with his lawyers that when all is said and done, he's going to be cleared, that the gun was registered, that he did inform officers. But either way, not a good look, especially for an organization that wants to be as squeaky clean as the Texans. I don't know if you had heard of it, but if you did, your thoughts on the entire thing.
Yeah, you know, the thing you have to always be careful about that is rushing to judgment. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially for guys like you and me and Nick, we have to be a little more responsible, I think, than the average fan, to be like, oh, well, that's just terrible, because you don't know what happened. And right. His lawyer's letter did make a lot of sense, right? I mean, he said he informed officers immediately, I have a gun. It is, you know, it's up like it's supposed to be. It's locked up in the car. It's registered. It's legal. And that was fine. That checked out. And then the guy in the car had weed on him. Mm-hmm. And so he's right. going to take, he said he will take a pee test to prove that he has no marijuana in his system. And then if that all comes out, I think it's a done deal. It's a, you know, wrong place at the wrong time.
But other than
that, yeah, pick better friends, right?
Yeah, I mean, no question. But I liked the fact that he responded quickly and came from a position of, seemingly from a position of strength, to say, look, I wouldn't be volunteering to take a pee test, and I wouldn't be going through all of this if I was guilty, because it would just add more embarrassment to me. So I did like all of that. I just hated to hear the news, because I know they felt like they got a steal when they got him. When they did, they thought that he could come in and immediately contribute. He could bring a little bit of a power running game to that offense behind and alongside Miller. So I was hoping for that. And then the fact that the story came out so quickly with an answer kind of made me feel better about the situation, because I'm thinking about it from playing college sports too and being on campus. If this was the Austin Police Department, I could see them, and I could see guys wanting to make this a bigger deal than it was, and especially because you're dealing with a celebrity. But on campus, unless he really ticked somebody off when he was there, normally the campus police would be the ones going, oh, that's Deontay, and he's heading to the NFL and everything like that, so let's work a little harder on this before it comes out. But it seemed like it came out awfully quick to kind of exploit and expose that he was involved.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. It's, dude, you got to hang out with different people, right? Like, you have a lot of money on the line. So if I'm that dude, I'm like, look, if you guys are going to hang out with me, if we're going to go somewhere, no weed, don't bring any drugs. I don't need that early on. You would think these guys get sat, which I know they do. They sit these rookies down and, hey, don't do anything stupid. And they get counseled on that stuff. But live and learn.
Well, I mean, and you bring up a great point, too. You got to be, look, as easy as it was to hang out with whoever you wanted to until you got to the point where you were a professional, once you become a professional, you got to be real careful who you hang out with and picking your friends, because whether it's you personally or not, if you are associated with it, a lot of times that's enough to bring you down, whether it be a notch or down and out, which you don't need. And that's where you're absolutely right. I mean, there's got to be a conversation, like, if we're going to hang out, you can't be doing these kind of things. And if it does happen, you got to take ownership in them real quick, because, you know, you don't have time for that. And I guess the short way of putting it.
Right. So. We got a couple of texts actually already. First text was, hey, love the show. Can't find you guys on Facebook. How do we follow you on Facebook if we don't have Twitter? The show doesn't have a Facebook page. I don't think we'll do one, because I don't think a lot of people really use that. I would definitely hop on Twitter or just use text.
You can find some of our content on the ESPN Houston page, but you're right. We do not have the usual suspects doesn't have their own page.
Now we have discussed maybe an Instagram or a Snapchat, which I think we should still do. But as of right now, no Facebook. What was the other one?
Well, and we're not friends.
Jong's email.
Let's be clear. Huh? We're not friends, and we know that we don't do the Facebook thing if we're not friends. So Barry and I are not friends on Facebook, so that wouldn't work.
Now you would have a show page, Joel.
I know. You know what I mean? I get that.
Somebody said, what's the Jong's email? This signal is driving me nuts, and I guess they want to email the FCC. Do you have that in front of you, Nick?
Jong.lee@gowmedia.com.
And I tweeted the form out last week, so if you want to go to
very good. We'll find that and retweet it.
Yeah, go look at my page on
at Pac-Man Joel.
Yep.
With a K. Somebody said, what do I need to do to get a job working with you guys? Would I have to start out as an intern? I mean, if you have experience, maybe not. Plus, there would have to be a job. But what would you do for, are you saying you guys as in the usual suspects? Are you guys as an ESPN 97.5? I think that's...
You're going to have to prepare Barry's meals, but not touch them. You're going to have to make sure that you push him to work out, but don't touch him. And you're going to have to
get a Subway sandwich every day.
Yep. You're going to have Purell in your back pocket, but he will get it, not you. And don't touch the spout. These are just things that you're going to have to do just right off the top.
I like that you threw things out for me. What are they going to have to do for you, Joel?
Well, that's exactly what I find when I come to work every day. I mean, I have to wait.
Okay, but what do they have to do for you?
Starbucks drink, spit out the Starbucks drink.
No, but I'm self-sufficient. Yep. I don't need anything.
What else? Oh, I'm not? I'm not you're self-sufficient? The
one, no,
wait,
I
need
Nick,
someone to go get my sandwich?
Of the three of us, no, not your sandwich, but of the three of us, who said that they were wanted and they were going to bring in their own intern?
But of I don't the three think you us. Understand why I wanted the personal intern.
Well... To show you the latest shoes on the internet, no. too, is part of it.
No. I think for you, what are some of the things that if you're going to work with the usual suspects, they would have to do for Joel? They'd have to get his Starbucks coffee.
No, nope, because I get it in the morning, way before I see any of you people.
Right? Sometimes he'll send you out during the show. You've sent people out during the show.
Once or twice, I will do that, and I take care of them for doing it.
Sure. I mean, look, yeah, we're just
water.
He likes to drink a lot
I'm
of water.
Fully capable of hydrating.
See, this is my point, though. I'm fully capable of doing all the things you listed. I feel like you were just trying to make it seem like I'm the diva of the show when we all know that's
everybody
Nick.
Knows that who the diva is. Nick, but here's the thing. You're Nick the one that totally came to the Nick. Table one day and dropped on Nick and I. By the way, I'm getting my own intern. And we were like,
yeah.
Okay. But
I was kind of looking forward to that because I figured it'd be our intern anyway, not just his.
No, it would have been mine.
I would have used that intern.
All I really wanted the intern for was to send like mean text to Joel anonymously.
That someone really else has got to do it because there can't only be a few. The numbers get to be very, very easily detectable.
Well, I was going to give them your number and have them call from different numbers and be like a telemarketer and stuff because I know how that pisses you off.
Yeah. And
I was like, while we're on this show, I was going to have them calling you being like, what?
Yeah, they sure. Your name. You sure. With that accent, your name is John, and you really want to talk to me about the IRS? Okay, let me spend 10 minutes with you.
Right. Yeah, that's honestly the only reason I wanted an intern was to have them do things to mess with your mind.
By the way, Lamont says no such thing as an unregistered gun in Texas, so people know because of the fact that when the story first came out, they said he had an unregistered gun, and that's one of the
accusations. You don't register. Yeah. You go and buy a gun that, yeah, you're like, they don't track your serial numbers associated with names. They don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. You're legally bound to say, I have a concealed carry and I have a weapon in the car. That's what you, and as long as you do that, you should be good.
And hopefully he passes the P test and then this is all behind him because, yeah, he's going to have a serious conversation with his homies after this one and work some stuff out. But hopefully this is not a serious thing for the Texans as it looked like when it first came out. All right, so we'll take a quick break. Nick and I from the studio, Barry from Wichita, as we continue to roll on. We'll have a special guest along the way and always love hearing from you. So give us a call, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line where you can call, you can text, or hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We can go to Italy and maybe see the Coliseum. I'll be Da Vinci if you be my Mona Lisa.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects back on ESPN 97.5. Barry's in Wichita, Nick and I are in Houston, and we're joined now by the Chief Marketing Officer for BBVA Compass, Jennifer Domenichini. And Jennifer, welcome to The Usual Suspects. A pleasure having you on the show. You got a lot going on this summer.
Well, we're having a good time, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, today we're really celebrating what we call our Summer of Opportunity. And we're out doing random acts of kindness in the community, and I'm actually been riding my bike doing so all day.
Wow. So you're getting some exercise out of the deal as well, but you're out and about. Just tell people what they can be looking for, how they can participate, and what great things you guys are doing today.
Well, thanks. So about 3 years ago, our bank kicked off a program called the Summer of Opportunity. And really, what we wanted to do is just brighten people's days by going out and paying it forward in some small way. So any employee has the opportunity to volunteer their time and get a $25 gift card and go out and do a random act of kindness in the community. and they can do so all summer long. And then in addition, what we're doing, we have a lot of great partners here in town and across all of the states in which we have banking presence. And so what we're doing is we're giving these charitable partners $250 gift cards to go to, you know, anything that they need to purchase, much needed supplies or what have you. But really at the end of the day, it's all about brightening people's day. And so today I got on a B-cycle early this morning, went to an organization called The Center that supports adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, then headed over to the Houston Area Women's Center, which supports people victims of domestic violence, rode around the area of the stadium, the BBVA Compass Stadium in the East End, and gave out gift cards to a bunch of different people. And now I'm at the United Way. So it's been a full day, and it's been, as you mentioned, a great way to get exercise, but also to give back.
That's awesome. And do you have any help, or is it just all you today?
Oh, no, it's not me. Like I mentioned, all of our teammates at the bank, as well as a lot of our great brand partners are also participating at, as well as small business and other clients of ours. But today I had two great special guests. Mookie Norris joined me in the morning, so he and I were riding around town. We went to the center, to the women's center shelter together. And then a former Dynamo defender, Eddie Robinson, and I just rode around Edo, and we gave out gift cards to a bunch of people on the light rail, bought lunch for a bunch of different families, surprised some other families that were walking around the neighborhood with their children. I helped out a few homeless people in one of the parks. So really was a fun day for us and all these great brand partners of ours.
That's awesome. Mookie Norris, the ex-Rocket, is a great guy as well. Can you tell me a little bit and tell the listeners, more importantly, about the 10 Bright Principles? And, you know, how do your brand ambassadors like James Harden and Robert Horry get those principles to help their community?
Well, thanks. So we have a point of view that everybody deserves a bright future, and our brand is all about creating opportunities for that bright future. And so what we did was we created 10 principles that we believe are just principles to live by, to run your business by, but also live your life by. And so our brand ambassadors like James Harden and others have really been telling their own stories through the lens of these bright principles. So these are principles like know where you're going, have a point of view, what's the destination that you want to have. It's challenge your status quo. Don't always accept what everybody tells you you can do. You know, challenge it. Be yourself. Be fearless. Dare to be you. Dare to be yourself. But also a couple other principles, and this is really what the Summer of Opportunity is all about, is remember your roots and show appreciation. And so a lot of the principles that our ambassadors are bringing to life are through their own personal stories. And one of the final principles is this concept called Live Bright. And what we mean by that is if you embrace the positive and everything you do, life can be better, but we also believe that when you actually make a difference in other people's lives, life's good not only for them, but also for you, and that's what we mean by living bright.
Speaking of roots, too, Jennifer, one of the things that really stands out to me is the synergy and the partnership and the teamwork between BBVA and the city of Houston. You look no further than, as you mentioned, the home of the Dynamo and BBVA Compass Stadium. But then you talk about being connected with a guy like James Harden and talk about how this city has embraced him and they embrace BBVA. And because of you guys being in partnership, it just seems like the roots are solidified that Houston is a very important spot and you guys are doing what you need to do to make sure that you take care of the people of Houston, Texas.
Well, thanks for recognizing it. And yes, I mean, we believe this is one of the most amazing cities on the planet, right? It's a city that people believe in giving back. It's a very philanthropic city. It's a very diverse city. And together with the city of Houston and all of these other partners and ambassadors that you've just mentioned, really what we believe is if we can give back and make our community a better place to live, life will be better for us all.
Well, it sounds like it's a great day with a great organization and, of course, some great people involved. But I hope you're wearing reflective clothing, and I hope you're not too noticeable so that people don't start running down the street chasing you as you continue to wrap up your day.
Well, we did have a few people that the word got out fast. We were over in the East End, and people, you know, were following us because they heard we were giving out gift cards. But, you know, that's also good. We're glad we're making a difference. And it is a little hot out here. I don't think I anticipated how hot it was, but, you know, but it's been good.
So the BBVA tour to Houston. If you see Jennifer on her bike, please give her a water bottle if you can and make sure she stays hydrated. And if she needs anything else like a sandwich or a snack, make sure you check in with her because it's the gift that keeps on giving and you might as well pay it forward as she's paying it forward in the city. Jennifer, I know you're busy. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. And really, thanks for doing what you're doing for Houston because BBVA is doing some great things.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.
You do the same. So that was Jennifer Domenichini with BBVA Compass. Pretty cool. We've done a lot of neat things with BBVA in the past, but including had Robert Ori on, and Barry, and you and I were supposed to do an appearance one day over here in the Galleria area. But I think that's awesome. Just the random acts of kindness. I was going to ask her if she could get professional comedians on the road to do random acts of kindness for the guys left back in the studio, but she didn't seem to be too open to that, so we just passed on it.
Yeah, just send me some gift cards. I mean, I'm not saying I'll pass them out, but definitely send me some gift cards. We'll see what happens.
Well, the intern.
I can't believe they're out there in the heat. I was looking at the weather. It's actually, though, it doesn't look to be that bad. I guess, I heard you open and say that the skies looked bad. Is it going to rain there? Or what? Because I'm looking at the forecast to compare it to Wichita. And right now, Wichita looks to be hotter than Houston. How is that possible?
Yeah, that doesn't sound right. But, of course, you're talking about nothing. You know, there's nothing around there. It's like in Wichita, I'm sure you're just surrounded by nothing. And the heat can
geese. That's what I'm surrounded by.
So then the heat can bear down on you and the geese. Whereas at least, you know, with bodies of water around and the fact that it's overcast. I checked Doppler before we came in, Barry, and I've been deeply studying the low pressure system coming out of the Gulf. And very I can good, tell you good. That the skies are overcast. There's a 40 to 45% chance of rain. But it does look like in the next hour to hour and a half that the winds might be changing direction and we could be headed for a downpour. So the preparations are already under place for a complete monsoon.
Dude, I was looking, so like the highs, 91, 90, 92, 93, 91. That's the next 5 days in spring Texas. I don't know what Houston is. Wichita, 95, 97, 99, 101, and 101.
How's the humidity?
About 40 to 50%. So not nearly as bad as Houston. But I'm looking at the 60 to 70. It's pretty good for Houston.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. This morning and even last night, we were outside last night. Taylor was experiencing drawing with chalk for the first time out on the we were out in the yard and I was like, man, it's actually really comfortable. And I looked at the thermostat, it was 81 degrees outside with a breeze because of the rain that we had had earlier. And then today, I mean, I took the dogs out in the morning and I'm looking at it was 82 and I'm going, man, wish it would stay like this all day. As long as the sun's not beating down on you, it might be a good couple of days. But it definitely looked when we started the show like rain was in the immediate forecast here in Houston.
No, well, I'm not going to complain. My yard needs it. So, by the way, Mookie Nor is one of my favorite rockers. So that's cool.
You know what? I had to bite through my tongue when she said that because I was like, not going to do this again. Nope. Going to leave this one lie. But that's why I kind of followed up with the fact that we knew who Moochie was.
So we have a texter that texted in our intern starter kits. Are you ready for these? He has texted in what each of us would require from an intern if we had one. So okay. Barry's intern starter kit, Purell, non-latex rubber gloves, a Subway hookup, and a yellow t-shirt. I don't know what the yellow t-shirt is for.
Well, because you remember you got that yellow t-shirt from like Banana Republic and then Nick was making fun of you for wearing that color. Remember that whole deal? He would have been better off to say white jeans, skinny jeans.
Okay, that's what it is. So Joel's intern starter kit, Starbucks account, a vehicle to transport a million animals. An
like
account
that.
At Academy is your intern starter kit. An account at so that's, yeah. Okay. Nick intern starter kit, a chubby Mexican homegirl.
Why did I know that was coming?
A hookup in the police department. And a friend at the body shop. So,
oh, my God.
And a working speedometer.
No, yeah, that's functional. So I just don't pay attention to it.
Pretty accurate lists all the way around. I like it. That person could be hired. By the way, Joel, you're catching a little heat for using the word homies. I don't know why. That's but
I'll live with it. We all have homies. People from your hometown when you grew up.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously? Yeah, at least I didn't say posse. That's been used, and I would not have done that. Yeah, I said homies because I have homies from the mill. You know what the mill is? It's the big city town of Milwaukee. Okay, so just take it easy, people. It'll all.
Somebody on text said having the gun in the car isn't the issue. The problem's having the gun with the weed. And me being from Texas City, the crowd he rolls with have been known for that type of behavior. Don't get me wrong. It was nothing. I wish nothing but the best for the hometown kid. But at some point, you have to break ties with those folks. And that's true. If you have guys in your life that could get you in trouble, you probably shouldn't be hanging around with them all the time. I'm not saying abandon your friends because your friends, those are your day ones, right? Those are your A1s. They've been down from the beginning. They've helped you, I'm guessing, in many ways.
Those are your homies, right, Barry?
Yeah, it's true.
See,
but at the same time, you have to make better decisions now. You have a career. You have, you know, a lot of money on the line. You have your future, your family's future, your kids' future. You just have to make better decisions. Like if I'm a big time radio star and a big time comedian, right? Mm-hmm. Then I'm not gonna let Nick bring, you know, all the Molly and the weed with us when we go somewhere. I'm not gonna let you bring a sack of coke if you and I go do something. I'm just not gonna. I'm gonna be like, no, guys, leave that at the home, or let's take separate cars. So.
Yeah, I'm saying, look, for as long as I've been in sports, right, and you get to know a lot of people along the way, but there's the unwrittens, and one of the unwrittens is you never let your guy, your main guy, the guy who is the guy who gets who's playing the sport, take the hit. I mean, it's like Entourage 101, if you will, but there are conversations that need to be had, and a lot of guys, this is why, I mean, we're talking about, look, and we haven't got into this yet, but when you start talking about Ezekiel Elliott and a guy that probably needs better people around him too, not necessarily just for the guys he's hanging out with, but from the standpoint of from his agent to whoever, smart players, especially when they're as big time and popular as Zeke already is, will have his own security guard 24/7. So that you avoid a lot of stuff. The agent makes sure that, you know, there's someone that people are called runners, whatever you want to be, putting a title on them. But they work for the agent that hangs with them to deflect. But there is a, shall we say, a couple of layers to get through before you would ever get to something where you pin it on the actual player. You just got to be smarter than that in today's day and age, especially when we talk about social media and how everybody's got a phone, so everybody's a reporter. You got to be careful.
Yeah. You don't. It's, dude, there's too much on the line to be an idiot.
Right. Don't be an idiot. Should we just get buttons made and t-shirts? Just don't be an idiot. It's as simple as it is. Nick, start taking our advice. Don't be an idiot.
I just don't like me being.
Let's start with a smaller project.
That's a good point, Barry. Let's get with the interns first.
Why am I the drug addict of the show? I don't get it. I don't know why.
I don't know, but someone also. There's a very mean texter out there that wants to know. You know what? I'm not going to do that to you.
Which you would you not be doing that to?
To Nick. There's people being meanie heads out there on text, and I'm not going to do that.
But will you notate their number and make sure that they're on the wanted list?
I'm
going to
block them. I'm going to block them just for Nick.
See, that's what I want to hear. Nick, he's got your back.
Him and Beaumont.
Okay. All right, so we continue to roll on. Barry, Nick, and Joel, usual suspects right here at ESPN 97.5. Please join the show, won't you? 713-780-3776, where you can text or you can call or you can hit us on Twitter. And as you can tell, we're not only into participation and having you guys be a part of the show, but when you do something that we actually like and approve of, we give you full credit because we give you shout-outs because we love our suspects. Don't go anywhere, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry, Nick, and Joel. Usual Suspects till 4. No, Nick is not high. For those people on Twitter that think that they're funny.
Is that what I'm getting on Twitter too?
Yeah, you're getting a little of that.
All right.
Barry is the resident gun expert, and I am not kidding about that. So when people are talking about Deontay Foreman and talking about what happened at up in Austin, he has been pretty knowledgeable in terms of being able to break it down for you, including Lamont as well, in making sure we clarify what is legal, illegal, and what the whole deal is. So with that being said, Mr. Laminack, Barry Warner had Brian Weiss on this morning, who is a legal analyst and also works for KPRC Channel 2, and he had some audio on the entire situation. We'll get that to you. We had a little technical difficulty. We'll get it. He had some things, interesting things to say about how it all goes down. I think, you know, as we look at what's going on Twitter too, I think everybody just has the same overall thought, which is let's hope this is quickly swept under the rug or water under the bridge, but it doesn't become a big deal because this kid really is going to be counted on for the Texans this year.
Yeah, he's in the mix for sure. I don't think it'll be a big deal. I mean, I'm hoping not. You know, again, it's all speculation, so I don't want to play that game and say stupid things. But yeah, he's going to be an important part for sure.
We got the audio standing by. Hang on one second. Okay. And the other thing is the good thing is they're both misdemeanors. But let's hear what Brian Weiss had to say.
Arresting Dante for possession of marijuana in Travis County, Texas, is like handing out speeding tickets at the Indy 500. That's number one. But number two, if the state's case turns on being able to prove to a judge or jury beyond a reasonable doubt, as anybody who's ever binge-watched Law & Order knows is the state's burden, they're going to have a difficult time because Dante was in a vehicle in the company of a number of other friends, all of whom were charged, and that's something that I find disheartening. This may be one of those rare times where you and I both know that sometimes ball players and celebrities catch a break because they're ball players and celebrities. And then sometimes they don't catch a break for that exact same reason. I think this may be the latter situation. I think that arresting this young man, given these facts, was the proverbial rush to judgment. I think eventually what we will see, without prejudging the facts, is that these cases are going to be dismissed.
Well, there you go. So if you're a Texans fan, that's a reason to exhale. Yeah, you hope he's right and you can exhale. But, you know, that's the first thing that came to my mind. I'm listening to this story, and I'm thinking to myself, look, I mean, if he was all by himself, that's one thing. But if you got guys around you, I mean, it's hard. You either charge one or you charge everyone. But when you charge everyone, how are you going to prove that? Whose it was? You know, obviously, if someone's got it tucked into their jeans or something like that, then it's on them. But that's going to be kind of a witch hunt to try and peg it on, you know, everybody that was in the car or around the car.
Well, I think the smart thing that they're doing is, hey, test us. Let's see if he's got any marijuana in his system. That's a smart thing to do if you have, you know, if you don't. Now, it's dumb if he's just like trying to bluff, you know what I mean? Like, well, test me. And then they're like, okay, wait a minute. Can you give me 30 days? Like, not as smart, but, you know, if he came out right away and said that they were going to test him. So hopefully that works out.
Right.
No. On Twitter, Screwston had a question for you, and I think it's an interesting question at least. He said, have y'all addressed the big announcement from the Rockets at 2, and do you have any speculation? And so I was curious as to what you thought the speculation might be. I have my own ideas, but what do you know what it's about?
I don't know, but when I heard about it, because Raheel told me about it, and I found out that Tad Brown was going to be the one representing the Rockets at the press conference. That normally means just it's a business decision. And then I started thinking about it. The biggest thing that when they bill it as a major announcement to me is the sponsorship on the jerseys. My first guess is that the jerseys are going to come out. You know, they're making the whole transition to Nike from Adidas. And that happens when training camp starts. And that's about the same time that, you know, everybody will see it for the first time, but I would think that the timing is about right for something like this, a major announcement to say that, again, just me guessing, Toyota or Memorial Hermann will be the sponsor on the Rockets jerseys like Goodyear. I think the only one that I know of that's been announced previous to this was the Cavaliers and Goodyear, but my first guess is just it's going to be a sponsorship. Who's going to be the sponsor on the jerseys?
Okay, that's actually a really good guess. I saw over the weekend, or I saw last night, where they signed or they're going to sign Luke Baamute. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yep.
And it immediately made me, I mean, because he's a small forward, and I think he can play a little power forward, but he's a small forward, right?
He's a tweener, per se.
Okay.
But again, when they play their kind of speed lineups, I think he can play both the three and the four.
And he's a hell of a defender, so he makes them better defensively.
No question.
And he was shooting better last year. What that immediately made me think, though, is a third small forward, really, because you've got Ariza, you've got what did they just go outside? Tucker. So
PJ Tucker.
Now you've signed Baamute. That really makes me think that Trevor Ariza is part of the Carmelo Anthony deal. This signing alone makes me think
you're
that.
You're with me, my friend. You know, everybody was kind of scratching their temple and going, why do we need this guy? Why do we need this guy? Well, you're not really thinking. And then speaking of not thinking, Kurtlow chimed in and said that the signing of...
I thought we banned Kurtlow from this show.
No, you did. But he chimed in and said to others who strangely enough, follow him for information, that Mbamute was signed so that he could be used as part of trade salaries for Carmelo Anthony. No, because when you sign a guy, you have to keep him until December the 15th. So that's not going to work out. But if you take it to where we were taking it, then you start figuring out, look, we just got done saying PJ Tucker is the perfect complement to a Trevor Ariza. But if you add another poor man's Trevor Ariza, and also, by the way, a guy that would back up a PJ Tucker who's a better three-point shooter, then maybe Trevor's expendable. Yeah. So maybe you can sweeten the pot.
I don't know why you give Kurt Lowe any run. That dude's an idiot, obviously. Like, why are you still reading what his did someone said something about LeBron and the Rockets? Because somebody asked about this.
The major announcement, and he said LeBron is coming to Houston.
Seriously.
I hope he was kidding.
What? Oh, my God. I really hope he's kidding, or he is mental.
Well, he's got Abby's mom all in a frenzy, I'm sure, because she believes what Kurt Lowe says. So LeBron must be coming.
Two peas in a pod.
We'll try and get you information. We've got people down at the Big Sequoia to tell you what the big announcement from the XXX sweater vest is. So we'll get you that information. We've got a lot more to get to. And we need to catch up and see if there's any fun and games and shenanigans on the Barry World Tour as he continues to head through Tornado Alley before he rejoins us next week. Nick is already crying because he misses your smiling face. But we'll get to that and a whole lot more on the second hour of The Usual Suspects coming up next on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.